Case for argument is Lemus Rodriguez v. Ashcroft. Mr. Camilli.
May it please the court. My name is Tahir Camilli. I'm standing in front of you on behalf of Salvador Lemus Rodriguez. Your Honor, the facts of this case are very simple. Mr. Rodriguez entered the country in 1983, remained in the United States, two U.S. citizen kids, ages 10 and 9. 1999, he gets convicted of an attempted reckless discharge of a firearm under the state of Illinois rules and regulations. In 1999, he orders deported from the United States by the immigration judge in Chicago. The case gets appealed to the Board of Immigration Appeals. The Board of Immigration Appeals affirms the immigration judge's decision. We are in front of you based on that decision. There are many issues in this case which we have briefed completely, and they are indicating our briefs. As of today's argument, I would like to focus on two issues. One, whether petitioner's attempted reckless discharge of firearm conviction under the state of Illinois deprives this court of jurisdiction over the petition for review of Mr. Rodriguez. Number two, whether the Board of Immigration Appeals erred in deciding that petitioner is ineligible for cancellation of removal under 8 U.S.C. 1229B because of his attempted reckless discharge of a firearm. As far as the first issue goes, as far as the jurisdiction, the government does concede that this court does have jurisdiction to determine its own jurisdiction.
In this case, it more or less comes to the same thing, because as the government itself notes, if this is a firearms offense, if this is the kind of offense that makes one ineligible for cancellation, then that's the end of the story, whether it's a jurisdictional ruling, once we've ascertained the nature of the offense. And I guess I have problems in that characterization inquiry with the notion that you seem to be urging that it can't be a firearm because it falls within the exception for rifles in the destructive device. But the statute actually says firearm or destructive device. And a rifle is certainly a firearm.
Absolutely. Judge, if we like to think of a rifle falling within the 921A, if that is the case, that hundreds of people in 1996 Olympics should have been arrested and charged with firearm offense because they used the starter gun for the races.
Well, maybe it should have been, but I mean, the prosecutor did arrest this person for discharging a firearm, and it can be actually a rather dangerous thing to discharge a firearm up into the air, even if it's on New Year's Eve.
Judge, however, if the rifle is used for cultural or recreational purposes,
that's if a destructive device is.
Judge, the destructive device under the fourth category of 921A3. If you look at it, it's basically a catch-all phrase.
But a firearm is some firearms may, well, the destructive device is a broader phrase than firearm. There's plenty of things. A grenade is a destructive device and it's not a firearm.
However, under the firearm definition of A3, a grenade, a missile, a mine could be a firearm.
No. Why do we have to read the statute in such an odd way when it says firearms and then other destructive devices, effectively?
Absolutely. Judge, the definition of firearm, if you look at it, 1921A3, the first paragraph indicates that any weapon which will or is designed to
shoot
a projectile.
Right.
Now, the
right.
Weapon itself is not defined under the statute.
But, no, I mean, it's a thing that can shoot off a projectile. It just seems to me entirely artificial to say that this rifle wasn't a firearm, even if it wasn't some other kind of destructive device.
Judge, under the statute, I do agree with you that it says firearm or destructive device.
Yeah.
But if you do look at the 941A, the way it is written, under the third paragraph defining firearm, it gives us four subsections, A, B, C, or D. Now, D, being the destructive device, is a catch-all phrase that basically covers everything under the firearm. Rifle has been explicitly excluded under the destructive device.
Now, so a sniper? You're thinking the people who were sniping with rifles in the D.C. area last year weren't committing a firearms offense because they were using rifles to shoot at people?
Well, absolutely they were. They were, because they did not use it for cultural, recreational.
Maybe it was a cultural effort. Maybe that their culture required them to eliminate people.
Your Honor, with all due respect, I do not believe of any culture that killing and murdering people is okay with them. In this case, Judge, in 1975, in reality, the Congress of the United States amended that portion of the statute, because before 1975, it was only for sporting goods. Then it added recreational and cultural purposes. So there was an exclusion there that if you use this weapon, rifle, for cultural sporting goods or recreational purposes, it is an exception. The same way, under the same paragraph, under the same portion of 941A, that the starter gun is excluded. That nine throwing guns are excluded. We cannot say that anyone who is in the Arlington Heights racetrack using the starter gun is in violation of the United States Code. It is not, because the Congress carefully excluded certain items from 941A. In reality, the rifle that was used in this case, Judge, was a Remington rifle, and the intent of the user was for cultural purposes. It was in New Year's Eve, and on record page 32, the immigration judge does explicitly include that in the record, Judge, that it was used at the New Year's celebration. Now, if we look at the 941A, it is excluded. The government tried to argue with this case to say that if it's firearm under the state of Illinois statute, therefore it is a firearm under the federal statute. That argument they tried in 2000 and 2001 in front of this honorable court as of the burglary offense. And the court took a step back and explained that no, if it's a burglary under the state statute, not necessarily the burglary under the federal statute. So we have to see whether it meets the definitions. Under the cancellation of removal, the petitioner, Mr. Rodriguez, in this case, has to prove four elements. He does satisfy the first three as having as being in the country for more than 10 years, as having two U.S. citizen children. So the only thing, the main issue, and I believe this is the first impression case in this circuit. We could not find any other cases in other circuits, too. The question is whether the rifle excludes this individual of applying for cancellation of removal. Whether a rifle falls under 8 U.S.C. 1227 firearm offenses. And the 8 U.S.C. 1227 itself talks about weapons as described under 941A, not under the state statute, not under the county statute. Therefore, I invite this court to look at the firearm definition and the catch-all phrase and the exclusion under the catch-all phrase. And we clearly see a judge that is the rifle that was used by Mr. Rodriguez is excluded from 941A. Therefore, that exclusion makes Mr. Rodriguez eligible for cancellation of removal. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Camille. Mr. Sandu?
May it please the Court, Your Honor. Patu Sandu on behalf of the respondent. Your Honor, we ask the Court to dismiss the review petition in this case based on the petitioner's firearm offense. Petitioner's firearm offense, a conviction under Illinois state statute, falls squarely within the broad contours of the federal immigration firearm statute.
But what are we supposed to do with this statutory exception for recreational use? Suppose he'd been hunting and he was, he's a deer, he likes hunting deer during the season, and he discharges his rifle toward a deer in a way that inadvertently, narrowly grazes another hunter who's out there. So it's something which was reckless, which endangered the bodily safety of another person, thus falling within the Illinois statute, and he gets convicted of that. Is it your view that any such conviction, despite this other language, renders him ineligible?
Your Honor, under your hypothetical, it would appear that he would be ineligible as well, because it is a conviction and it is endangering the safety of someone else, which falls within the Illinois statute.
Right. No, it's definitely an Illinois conviction. Yeah.
Under the firearm statute, it would seem to come within the 921A3 firearm definition.
So So you would say that the exception in the destructive device definition for one particular kind of firearm used in one particular kind of way is meaningless, right? It has absolutely no application to anything.
Well, I think, as you had indicated, Your Honor, earlier, the statute at 921, or I'm sorry, the immigration statute says firearm or destructive device.
And right, but then inside the or destructive device,
yes,
one kind of firearm.
That's right.
Which is carved out. But actually, since all firearms are already included in the first part, those words in the second part, the destructive device part, are meaningless. The set of cases to which they will apply is zero on your reading of it, since you've already included all rifles in the firearm part. To have accepted rifles in the destructive device part means nothing. Can you give me an example of a case where the exception in the destructive device language for rifles would have any teeth? When would that apply? Since you've already agreed that all rifles fit the definition of a weapon, they're capable of discharging projectiles. Is there any situation?
I'm not sure, Your Honor. I have not thought that through, if there's any specific fact pattern that would actually...
Well, what is the purpose of that cultural exception?
In the destructive device definition?
Yes.
Well, Your Honor, I would assume there are certain situations...
Fireworks, 4th of July.
I would assume that there are certain situations that Congress...
Well, what do you mean you'd assume? Is there a history of this? Are there cases? What does it mean? Has it ever arisen before?
I did not find any case law specifically addressing what that had meant, but it seems to me that under the plain terms of A3, clearly the rifle is a firearm.
You're asking us to interpret a statute in a way that renders a whole phrase utterly meaningless. That's a troubling suggestion, which is why I asked you, can you give me an example of a time that it might apply? Because I gave you a hypothetical. It's very easy for me to imagine situations where somebody's using a rifle in a recreational manner or a cultural manner in which at the same time they fall under the Illinois statute, because they've been reckless and they've endangered the bodily safety of an individual. So you agreed with me that that could happen. You could be a careless hunter or something like that. And I'm just concerned about reading a phrase out of a statute.
Well, I'm not sure this case exactly raises that issue, because, I mean, we're looking only at A3. And the other point here is I'm not sure that...
But A3 refers to firearm or destructive device,
that's
right?
That's true, yes.
And then where are we supposed to look for the definition of destructive device?
Well, I guess we're looking... Destructive device wouldn't come into play since it falls within firearms. I mean, that would be our analysis, is because it's an either-or under the immigration statute, that you would look solely to firearms. The firearm definition, if it's clear that, as Petitioner's counsel concedes, it fits within the firearm definition, then that would be the end of the case there.
Are there other statutes that refer only to destructive devices that are defined in Section 921A?
I'm not aware, Your Honor. I could do some research and submit a supplemental brief on that.
No, you don't.
But our position is that since it falls within A3, then that's the end of the matter. The destructive device provision is another section of the statute. There may be a situation where that language is not rendered meaningless. I just can't think of one, and I have not thought that out specifically. But because it's clear that it falls within A3, the A3 firearms definition, I think that's sufficient for this court to dismiss the petition for review and find that the petitioner is ineligible for cancellation or removal.
Let me ask you a question about the jurisdictional issue. Now, your argument is that because he was made ineligible for cancellation of removal by this firearms offense, that he comes within a bar to appellate review of removal when it's based on a firearms offense? Isn't that a bit of a stretch?
Yes, Your Honor. We do argue that under 1252A2C, the jurisdictional statute, which includes firearms.
He's not being deported for firearms offense. He's deported for having, you know, come back.
Yes, Your Honor, that's correct. The argument would be that in the court's prior precedent in a case called Zhang, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that correctly, the court was concerned with a due process, a notice issue of applying the jurisdictional statute to an instance where the alien had not been charged in the administrative proceedings with that particular ground.
But there was also, in Zhang, it was a case where the offense itself was the reason for the removal proceeding.
Yes,
whereas
yes,
here, I think what Judge Posner is suggesting is how many layers down do we go? He's being removed, not because he discharged this weapon. He's asking for cancellation of removal, and this is being raised as a reason not to do that, so it's one step removed.
Well, at least the due process notice issue is not present.
We're not talking about notice. We're talking about whether the jurisdictional statute applies to this situation.
Yes, we would argue that it does, even that 1252A2C would apply, even though he wasn't charged with that ground.
Why should it apply?
Well, I think the statute, the language of the statute is broad enough to say that it does encompass those grounds of removal, even though they're not specifically charged with that ground. Congress could have, for example, specifically stated in the statute...
Could he have been deported for this firearms offense?
Yes. I assume if he was charged with... he would have been found deportable for it. I mean, that's the issue that we're arguing here, is that... The jurisdictional question presumes that he would be found deportable based on that. But my point is...
The thing is, the statute says there's no appeal if you're being... if you're inadmissible or deportable by reason of having committed the particular criminal offense. That's not the ground that the Attorney General's relying... or all these departments are relying on to remove him.
Well...
They didn't have to prove one... sentence about his firearms offense to make him removable.
We think that language is broad enough to encompass...
You just said that, but
yes.
I'm asking you why. Why is this being deported by reason of having done this when, in fact, the government had no burden of proving that he had... If he had never applied for cancellation of removal, this topic would never come up.
Well, I think that there's not been a finding of removability, but he is.
There certainly has been a finding of removability.
I'm sorry, there's not a finding of removability based on the firearms offense, but he is removable based on that, in the sense that he could have been removable. Congress could have specified in the statute.
But there you have a notice problem. He could have been removable because he molested little girls, too, but we have no idea if he ever did that.
But that's the central issue here. That notice problem is not present. Congress could have said, for example, in the jurisdictional statute, that he's, you know, removable by reason of a finding of removability, or some other way to indicate more specifically that you have to be charged based on that ground.
In his proceeding, he admits the factual allegations in the notice to appear, and he concedes removability. That's when he's focusing on removability.
Yes, Your Honor, my time is up. If I just may answer that question again, I think that the issue about whether he was charged or not in the notice of appeal gets to the notice issue, which is not present in this case because it's the central issue here that he had a whole hearing to argue that it was not a firearms offense. What we're saying on the other point, which I think Judge Posner is raising, is that the statute is broad enough to encompass jurisdictional grounds that are not charged, or grounds that are not charged, to be bases of jurisdictional, applying the jurisdictional statute. Because Congress could have said, for example...
Yeah, okay, thank you, Mr. Stanley. Your time has expired. Mr. Camelli, how much time does he have? 2 minutes?
Your Honor, if there is no question for me, I would like to waive my rebuttal time.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr.
Camelli.
Thank you, Mr. Stanley. Next case for argument is...